Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, reading verses 13 to 20, 35. Verses 13 to 35. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and don't know these things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Xanthi, for this morning's reading. So that story might be familiar to lots of people. It's often called the road to Emmaus, and they never actually make it to Emmaus, but these two disciples are on their way there. And they're on their way to this village called Emmaus. And the important thing really is not where they're heading, but it's where they're coming from. They're walking away from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem has been the place where they have seen Jesus do some amazing things, but it's also the place where they've seen Jesus be arrested and crucified. And not only that, but they've seen that he's been buried and then his body's disappeared. So they're in a place of real despondency. And as they're walking along, a man comes and walks alongside them, and they don't recognize who this is. But the man says to them, "So what are you talking about as you walk along?" And they begin to explain. It says, "We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Haven't you heard about him?" They say, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Now, when I read this passage again, the thing that really struck me was the fact that what they say here when they say, "We had hoped," those three words, that little phrase really stuck with me, because I thought, We all experience those moments, don't we, where we have things that we hope for that don't come to fruition. And we can say we had hoped. So at the moment in lockdown, we might want to say, well, we had hoped that we could gather for church, that we could all come together, have coffee and tea together, be together as a big church family. We had hoped that we could do that, but we can't do that. Or maybe there's lots of other things that we'd hoped would happen. So maybe we'd hoped that we could go and see our relatives and give them a hug and our friends and family, but we can't do that because we're in isolation. Or for lots of us, maybe we'd booked holidays and we'd hoped that we could go on holiday, but we can't do that. And then, of course, there's much more serious things as well. People had hoped that they could attend a funeral of a loved one. And now, because of isolation, they're not able to do that. Life is full of these moments where we hope for something, we plan for things to be a certain way, and then they can't be that way. Things that we hope for that don't happen. I've been learning recently about lament. Now, lament isn't a word that we use very often these days. And one of the easiest ways to understand what lament is to contrast it with moaning. So if we have moaning on one side and lament on the other. So moaning is just complaining, really, and it doesn't achieve anything. It drains energy and it brings the moaner, the person who's doing the moaning, it brings them down. And if you're unfortunate enough to be an earshot of a moaner, then it brings you down too. So moaning makes things worse. Moaning achieves nothing. But lamenting is different. It's very different to moaning. Lamenting is a key theme in the Bible. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, and there are Psalms of lament, and there are other themes of lament elsewhere throughout the Bible. Now, lamenting is a way of expressing sadness, grief, sorrow, or loss. And it's about bringing those deep feelings of sorrow to God. Lament is a way of praying. It's about being really honest with God about our disappointments and our hurts. It's the opposite of spiritual bypass, which I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, where we ignore the pain and we try and pretend that it's not there and we just kind of get on with things. It's not about that. It's about bringing that pain and that sorrow, being honest about it and bringing it before God. So here are some passages from scripture that express lament. So in Lamentations chapter 1, it says this. This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Or this from Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Or this from Job chapter 30. This is from the Message translation. What did I do to deserve this? I expected good, but evil showed up. I looked for light, but darkness fell. My stomach is in constant churning. It never settles down. Each day confronts me with more suffering. I walk under a black cloud. These are all passages from scripture that have the ring of deep honesty, that experience of what it is to be a human and to face disappointment and pain and sorrow and to feel like there's a dark cloud around us. And many of us felt that way or felt like it's a flood, you know, when we feel overwhelmed and we just can't deal with what's going on. These passages and others like them invite us to be really honest with God about our pain. Sometimes we get this false notion as a Christian, we should always be happy, you know, hashtag blessed, living our best life. But life can be full of pain and sorrow and disappointment. And the invitation from God here is to bring all of that pain and disappointment to him, to share it with him. He wants to hear our complaints and our pain, even our anger. So we need to learn how to lament. And I think it's closely related to grief because it's an active, healthy process of sorrow through prayer and through conversation and through silence. The second thing I noticed about this reading and that I want to talk about is this eye-opening moment. The strangers, as they walk along, the disciples who meet this supposed stranger, they have a meal with him. And it says there that he takes the bread and that he blesses it. And at that moment, it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They suddenly recognized that this man who they'd been walking with and who they were now sat down to a meal with was actually Jesus, the one they thought had died, and they thought his body had gone. So there was something in that moment of seeing the bread being broken. That was the moment that the penny dropped for the disciples. There was something in that action, in that symbolism of the bread and the prayer, that turned a very ordinary moment of just eating bread, and you know, they probably prayed before every meal, but it turned that really ordinary moment into an extraordinary encounter with the living Jesus Christ. The disciples went from a place of "we had hoped" to a place of being hope-filled as they realized that they were there with Jesus, that he was alive and he was with them. We need those moments of encounter with Christ, those moments that feel very ordinary and yet get filled with the extraordinary presence of God, those moments when heaven touches earth. For me, praying each morning is one of those moments. When I start my day by simply being with God in my front room and praying, the very ordinary thing of my front room becomes an extraordinary encounter with the living God. It's just an ordinary front room, but as I open my heart, as I slow down my inner monologue, my thoughts and my worries, I come into an awareness of God's presence. I wonder what these moments are for you. It might be when you're out walking. Yesterday I was running by the river, and the sun was streaming down through the trees and it was reflecting on the river, and I could hear the birds singing. And it was a wonderful moment in creation, in, you know, out there in the world. And yet it was also a spiritual moment, because these very physical things become a spiritual moment. And maybe it's been a while since you've had one of those moments. Maybe you feel like you've been in that place of "we had hoped for," that place of sorrow, and you haven't had those moments with God. Or maybe you feel like you've never had one of those moments. As I'm explaining what it feels like to have that deep spiritual moment, you're thinking, "well, I've never experienced that." Well, I want to encourage you to seek after those moments, because it's not just about those moments. It's not just about a warm, cozy feeling. Those moments of encounter with Jesus can change our whole life, because they change how we speak to people, how we treat people, the things we do, the things we say, how we speak to ourselves. So I want to invite us into one of those moments right now. So I'd encourage you, whether you're sat wherever you are, just to take a deep breath, to try and be still in your body, to try and bring some stillness to your thoughts, and bring stillness to your spirit. In this morning's passage, Jesus took bread and he prayed. And as he did, the disciples' eyes were opened. They went from dashed hopes to an encounter with God in human flesh, the risen Christ. And that same Christ is now here with us through the Spirit. So let's give to him our dashed hopes, our disappointments, our sorrow and our pain as we lament. And as we do so, he meets us in our sorrow and he lifts us to hope in a love that is stronger than death. There is nothing to fear, not even death itself, for he is here. Through his Spirit, he is here. Amen.